It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside La Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Now here's your host, Jonathan Ford.
Welcome into Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jonathan Ford, publisher of Bleed Tech Blue Radio and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Man, I'm going to start this all over. Publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Sorry, you can tell that it's been a little while since we've had a show. I'm a little rusty. Ryan Kavanaugh joining me here. Thanks for joining me tonight.
Speaking of rusty, making a radio debut, it's been a while. But good.
Hey, you've done play-by-play probably since I've done radio shows.
There's a big difference, though.
There is
play-by-play
a big difference.
Is a lot easier.
Yeah, you're just saying what
say what they do.
Here you call it how you see it.
Here I got to pay attention, and, you know, it's a lot harder.
A little bit of news, Ryan, around Louisiana Tech this week. Jeff Driscoll, your other favorite team from Florida.
Nobody's supposed to know that.
Well, they do now.
Thanks.
your stinking dog's name is Tebow.
Second favorite team, people. Calm down.
I said that.
But, yeah, we found out Saturday morning. That was pretty awesome while watching the game. Driscoll. A guy who, like many other Florida quarterbacks after the Tim Tebow reign, has not been successful. And a lot of people are kind of, you know, he wasn't very good at Florida. Is he going to really be the starter? I'm kind of seeing that, which I think is not the case. Because you look at that Florida, those Florida quarterbacks after Tim Tebow, you have John Brantley, who never succeeded like he was going to, even though he was with Urban Meyer for a year. And then they had that class that mentioned Jacoby Brissett and Jeff Driscoll. Both were four-star quarterbacks, Driscoll being the top quarterback in the nation for a pro style. Four-star by rivals, five-star by other. And then Jacoby
Brissett.
And rivals
is all that matters.
Exactly. And Jacoby Brissett was one of the top dual-threat quarterbacks in the country. So thinking at that time, being a Florida fan behind Tech, I was thinking, all right, figure out who it's going to be. You're going to be fine for 4 years. And that's when Will Muschamp came into the play. And Driscoll got the starting job, and it was a freshman, getting against the SEC, kind of figured out how it was. But him, and you look at guys like...
And Charlie Weiss was the OC then.
Tyler Weiss was the OC. He's gone through three offensive coordinators,
He played better underneath Charlie Weiss than he did anybody else.
But you look at all those quarterbacks, you even throw in a Tyler Murphy, who's passing for 1,000 yards and rushing for 1,000 yards against Boston College, and Jacoby Brissett this last year, who I believe threw like 26 passing touchdowns and threw like maybe five his first years at Florida. These quarterbacks have been more successful after Florida. And now you're just hoping Driscoll is going to do the same.
And the point that I've been making is, and I don't mean to discount Cody Sokol in the least, because Cody Sokol, in hindsight, probably should have been the starter at Iowa from what I saw in their bowl game.
If Tech didn't have Cody Sokol, they'd be 6-6.
For sure. And my point being, Tech went to a bowl game, won a bowl game against a Big Ten opponent with a third-string quarterback from the Big Ten.
Yeah.
An underrated third-string quarterback from the Big Ten,
mm-hmm.
albeit.
Who hasn't really played Division I football until this year. And it showed in that first half against OU.
So then, now you've got a quarterback coming in who actually gets to come in for spring practice,
mm-hmm.
who started at football games in the SEC.
For 3 years.
Well, for 3 years.
Two and a half.
And how can it not be the same story, different verse?
It's the exact same thing. And then I've been, you know, checking out the Bleed Tech Blue message board. You check it out. And there's been a lot of comments of, how do we know he's going to start? Is he going to compete against Price Wilson? Jeff Driscoll's going to start.
He didn't come
you don't
here to,
bring
to
in
ride the pond.
A fifth-year quarterback to sit on the bench, because there's two reasons why you don't do this. One, you pretty much promise they're going to play, so they're going to play. Besides, if he shows out awful, he's going to be playing. And number two is that affects your future. Because if you bring in a fifth-year quarterback and he doesn't play and sits the bench, you know what? The next time a fifth-year quarterback's looking into your school, he's not coming. Because you look at the previous history, let's go back to Taylor Bennett from Georgia Tech. He came in, played, wasn't what everybody wanted him to be.
And he was replaced.
But he played. He replaced. And guess another guy came in. That wasn't a fifth year, but Scotty
And there's
Young.
Nothing wrong with them starting, and then you replace them mid-year, but you still got to start them.
You got to start them because these quarterbacks are looking at this. Because you say if a Taylor Bennett doesn't start, or if you don't give a Scotty Young a chance, even though he came in transferred, who also, by the way, had no Division I experience, and then a Cody Sokol, who, if you make him sit the bench, you know what? Jeff Driscoll's not coming. You're not going to come to a school if you have all these fifth-year quarterbacks who never play. You see them succeed in that situation and give it another opportunity, they're going to come.
And in the next, at 6:15, we're going to be joined by senior writer from InsideTheGators.com, Landon Watnick, who will talk about Jeff Driscoll. And, of course, the other news this week has been Manny Diaz, defensive coordinator for the Bulldogs, headed to Mississippi State. Going back to Stark Vegas.
Shocker. None of us were surprised. When Skip even said it last year, the biggest recruit he got last year was Manny Diaz, because we all knew it was going to be a one-year thank you. Thank you for your time. Best of luck and wherever you go. And there's
The dominoes were going to have to fall where there was not many that fell this year for him not to go.
Yeah, and then you look at all the D.C. openings that happened this past offseason, too. I don't know if I was just paying attention to it more, but there's a lot more D.C. jobs
opening.
There
was a lot.
And then as soon as the D.C. went to Florida, you knew he was going to go back.
I don't know what took so long.
I don't know either.
But at the same time, it could have happened a long time before.
It could have happened a long time beforehand, but you're just thankful he was here. Brought in some great recruits. Hopefully they stick out. More importantly, he brought this new style of defense.
Culture.
You're exactly right. And that's one of the questions we're going to talk about later in the show is who's going to be that next DC? Do you want to promote within with Blake and Oscar? Do you want them to promote within so you still have that kind of style? Because me and you watch Tech football a lot of time, and we recall a lot of bad, awful defenses. Like 2 years ago, which is the easiest one to. And last year, you have to admit, that was easily the best one, most fun to watch.
You know, you talk about that. And Chad Boyd, maybe he deleted the tweet. I think he did.
Thanks, Chad.
He tweeted at me after I retweeted the whole thing about Manny leaving, and he said something along the lines of, I hope that we keep somebody of the same style so that we don't have to play like the same style whenever I was in school.
Yes, because you know what I found out.
Sorry that I just threw you under the bus, Chad, but
it's
I didn't realize you deleted
it. True, every fan was thinking it. Because what I found out is Manny gathered this defense and he showed film. And this film was of the Seattle Seahawks defense. You know what he said? Play like that. And they did. Because when you have a team like Louisiana Tech, your offense is not, if you want to be consistent, you're not going to go out and score 40, 50 points every single game. If you did, your defense is going to be giving up 40 points every single game, a la 2 years ago. So you want an offense that can go out and score you 50, but more importantly, just not be awful. Not be like a North Texas that was this year. So that way you have a defense who's going to do what every single week? Create turnovers, get sacks, and that's what this defense did.
Be disruptive.
I think that's what this style is perfect for this team, and more importantly for this offense, to where a Jeff Driscoll can come in and he doesn't have to worry about throwing the ball 40 times a game like he did at Florida for the first couple games this year. He can come in, throw the ball 20, 25 times, complete 50% of them, give the ball to Kenneth, be a little more, not so much conservative. You don't want to be conservative, but he doesn't have to have all that pressure when you have a fifth-year quarterback for the second year in a row or a freshman quarterback.
But think about this year's offense with the added dimension of the zone read.
Yeah.
Which is what you'll have next year with Driscoll. And we've just gone full circle, which is, that's good radio.
It is.
We did a good job there. But you feed the horses, and if we haven't gotten a definitive word, the deadline hasn't passed. I don't think Kenneth's declaring for the draft. But
he said he wasn't after the bowl, but yeah.
Yeah, until the date's passed, there's people who won't believe him.
Yeah.
And that's with everything in life. So you add the dimension of a quarterback to 6'4", 230, and actually runs pretty well.
Runs a 4.5, 4.6.
I wouldn't say that his first or second step isn't real fast. It really isn't,
no.
But it's fast enough.
But how many quarterbacks that size can even run anywhere near that size? Nobody
not,
on that schedule next
not
year.
Not named Cam Newton.
Well, he's gone.
Yeah.
But exactly. Nobody you're going to see on your schedule next year or in Conference USA has that kind of quarterback. If he throws an interception or two a game, that's fine. Because he adds something else to your offense and offensive playbook that not a lot of defenses can. He's going to make up for it. And honestly, I think a new situation, a new offense, a offensive scheme that he can be successful in, I think he'll be fine.
Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we'll talk with Landon Watnick from InsideTheGators.com about that guy, Jeff Driskel. Get his thoughts. Why didn't it work at Florida? This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com, host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Ryan Cavanaugh joining me tonight. Got a couple of sponsors, then we'll get to the Keller Williams Parish-wide Partners Hotline with Landon Watnick from InsideTheGators.com.
One of those great sponsors is Keller Williams Parish-wide Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Brister Smokehouse. And after Landon, if you'd like to give us a call, 888-993-7762. That is the Keller Williams Parish-wide Partners Hotline. Or if you'd like to ask Landon the question, give us a text at 888-993-7762, and we will read it live on the air for Landon. Or if you have an email, inbox or email is at radio
at bleedtechblue.com. You got it. Landon, how's it going, my friend?
Going pretty good. I'm digging that Van Halen bump.
Do what we can for you, Landon.
Our producer, also known as Joe Dirt, he takes care of people as far as music goes.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of hypes things up a little bit. I'm digging it for sure.
There you go. Landon, we had a Q&A with you on BleedTechBlue.com that Sunday night. What was your favorite question someone asked you?
I'm scrolling through it right now. One of them was pretty funny. Is he a leader? There were some pretty interesting ones. Did Muschamp throw a fit every time he made a mistake? That's probably my favorite one. I'll go with that.
Well, just overall, just describe his Jeff Driskel's career at Florida. Of course, it was disappointing. I think that'd be the one word you would use. But why was it so disappointing?
Well, you're talking about a kid who came in top quarterback in the class of 2011. I recall he was being hyped as the next Tim Tebow just because he had that running ability and dominated a Haggerty in Oviedo in Central Florida. So he was really hyped heading in the Florida. He was supposed to be that next Tim Tebow, kind of follow up after John Brantley, and that just never panned out. And I mentioned it obviously in the Q&A on the website. A big part of that was just not having any continuity at offensive coordinator over his 4 years. You're talking about Charlie White in 2011, Brent Peace the middle 2 years, and then Kurt Roper this final year. And during 2013, he suffered that broken leg on that pick six against Tennessee, third game of the season. So, like I said, when I mentioned it in the Q&A, never had full back-to-back seasons with the same coordinator. So there's just a lack of continuity. Honestly, that's the biggest thing I feel like that stunted him. And obviously, just Muschamp not having any prior experience as a head coach, not having much of an offensive background, I think also had a play in it as well.
Sunday night, you and I talked about the woes at the receiver position and how many drops, especially Saturday. I lost count at probably 10 of how many dropped passes by the receivers even Saturday in the second half. And then the local CBS affiliate here played a clip from the LSU game. I don't know which game it was, but inside Death Valley, and there was a dropped pass in the end zone, and it looked like it was probably going to be for a win. Was that a common theme around Jeff Driskel's career?
Oh, certainly. The game against LSU late in the swamp where Jeff Driskel had a pretty good end zone pass to Tevin Westbrook. It was right on the money, and he just dropped it to tight end. So that's been a big theme this season for sure. Drops have been all around this wide receiver group, tight ends as well. One of the biggest culprits was Quentin Dunbar. He had guys all around. I mean, DeMarcus Robinson, as good as he was, he had a drop here and there. So it kind of plagued the group. I mean, Chris Leak didn't. I don't think he was fit for the job, straight out of being a graduate assistant. So, yeah, the wide receiver group really struggled this year, as much as the offensive line surprised. I mean, he had a pretty good offensive line he worked with, but the wide receivers really gave him no help in that department.
So, I know the fans were brutal to him throughout his tenure at Florida, and that's pretty common in that level of college football. But do you think it was a little unfair?
I mean, he had his chance this year to really prove himself. I mean, just considering some of the factors like lack of continuity, and just an offensive coordinator, and just really some of the other weapons on offense not giving him much help. So some of the criticism is unwarranted, but you're talking about a kid who is pretty highly ranked and has a lot of potential. He's pretty talented, just never really showed it as a passer, and the fans were frustrated. I think their way of really expressing frustration through the Muschamp era was kind of through Driscoll. Because, I guess he's the embodiment of it. He's really that representation of just all the offensive woes over the past couple of years. So I think they kind of channeled it through him.
Well, Landon, looking at he had three different offensive coordinators, as you mentioned. Watching Driscoll be a part of that, be the quarterback for those three different offensive coordinators, was there an offense that he seemed to fit him better? Or did you kind of watch him over the past few years and notice if they did this as an offense, he would be more successful?
Well, the coaching staff the first 3 years misutilized, and they were running a pro-style offense, and Driscoll thrives in the spread. So that's really his strength. But he had Kurt Roper come in this year and employed an up-tempo spread offense that was deemed to be explosive but never turned out to be that. And Driscoll still looks like the same unconfident quarterback in the pocket. He struggled with deep ball accuracy, missed on a lot of intermediate throws, was very hesitant, stared down receivers. So I think that's why Florida fans lost faith in him. And that's why some of the criticism, like the, you said in the earlier question, is a little bit warranted. You had the offense tailored around his strength. I mean, he really only had a year to learn it, which I guess is a fair excuse. But fans expected more, especially with a system tailored around Driscoll's strength, and they never got it.
Landon Watnick from InsideTheGators.com joining us on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. And I can, you know, Florida fans, you can understand them being not happy and want Treyon Harris to come in there and be the quarterback. But you look at other quarterbacks that have transferred out. Now, this is going to be, I believe, what, the fourth quarterback that has transferred out of Florida. All of them who have gone to, like a Jacoby Brissett, went on to NC State, became a lot more successful than his first couple years at Florida. And like a Tyler Murphy, who went to a Boston College, who runs that spread system with former offensive coordinator Steve Adazio, who threw for 1,000 yards and also rushed for over 1,000 yards. Do you think it's more of just the system for him, or like, I hate to put it all on Driscoll, because you look at all these other quarterbacks and none of them are really successful, because you have Muschamp, who's your head coach, but he's, you know, it's all about the defense.
It's hard to say. I think over the years Muschamp made a lot of personnel mistakes, and you had a guy like Brandon Powell, a true freshman, who is a pretty good running back / slot receiver, and he barely was utilized until like the end of the season. So you had guys like that who could have really helped out Driscoll. But, I mean, just looking over the past couple of years, like I said, with personnel mistakes, maybe Brissett should have started over Driscoll. Maybe he was the better option. And with Tyler Murphy, maybe he would have, it was kind of out of UF control. I think he just wanted to move on with his own career and go to graduate school elsewhere. But he probably would have fit better with Kurt Roper's offense than Driscoll did this year. I think that's just how it goes. So, for sure.
I will say this, that the majority of Florida fans on social media and on y'all's board have been pretty – they've wished him well, which you don't see that everywhere around college football when a guy has had a disappointing career at their school.
Yeah, that's the one thing I will say. Through all the criticism and, you know, just harsh reaction from fans, I mean, over the years – Driscoll's been a class act through it all. He stands up to all the tough questions by the media, does right. He's never really got in trouble throughout his years. He's just a stand-up class act in that regard, off the field, and could be a leader in that aspect. Maybe I feel like he did lose guys in the locker room just based off his play on the field. But, I mean, he's a stand-up class act, and you'll get that at Louisiana Tech. He's never going to be a guy that gets in trouble, and he'll take command of that locker room if they gain his respect. He's just got to prove it on the field. I mean, you're talking about a kid who's talented, great runner, a great athlete. He's just got to get it together in the passing game, and maybe the coaches at Louisiana Tech will help him out in that regard.
Well, what do you think was one of the biggest reasons of him deciding to come to Louisiana Tech and leaving Florida? Do you think it was, you know, the pressure from the crowd of any time he may have made an incompletion, they, you know, start to boo him, or he could see the writing on the wall with the new freshman quarterback maybe being the starter next year, or was it Muschamp leaving and a new head coach coming in?
I mean, you mentioned to me that Louisiana Tech is a big spot for a lot of transfers, so maybe he witnessed that and kind of seen how other transfers from other major programs that maybe come to a smaller program like Louisiana Tech have built their careers there and had some success. So I feel like you probably saw those past examples and kind of wrote off that. And plus, I'm not too familiar with Louisiana Tech school, but are they a good school in business management for graduate school?
They are.
That's definitely it. He's heading into his second year of graduate school, and he's majoring in business management. That's probably wants to get a degree there. So I would bank on that being a huge reason. I mean, Duke was in consideration, but maybe he got sold on that for sure.
Well, Landon, we really appreciate you joining us and shedding some light on Jeff Driscoll, and really good stuff.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
Landon Watnick from InsideTheGators.com joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Great insight on Jeff Driscoll. Gave a lot of different perspectives, I thought, about what Driscoll brings to the table.
Yeah, one of the things I think all Tech fans like to hear is how he wasn't really putting the offense to succeed. He's more of a spread them out, run kind of guy, which is exactly what I bet this offense would like to utilize him for next year.
Let's take this break. Other side of the break, a little bit more Louisiana Tech talk. We'll decide in the break exactly what we'll talk about. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I think we're doing a little rock and roll today. It's good stuff. A couple sponsors, Ryan, then we'll get into some football talk, bowl talk. Next defensive coordinator for Louisiana Tech. A little bit of that.
Sponsors for Bleed Tech Blue Radio are Brister Smokehouse, Fairway Carts, National Jewelry, and if you want to give us a call on the Keller Williams Parishwide Partners Hotline at 888-993-7762. Or if you have a question or comment, you can also text us at 888-993-7762. Just name and town when you text that in. Or if you want to shoot us an email, email us at radio@bleedtechblue.com.
That bowl game, I don't know how we didn't talk about it in the first segment, but we didn't. Big victory, 35-18 over Big Ten opponent Illinois. Could you have written the story any better for Houston Bates to dominate like he did against his former team?
You could see it coming, though. You couldn't see it having 6.5 tackles for loss and being a record, but you knew he was going to go out and bring it on. It's not only his last game, but like his last game against his former team. But this was such a huge, huge win, not just on the football field, but also for the university, because being a person who works at the university, one of the biggest things that we're trying to do is grow right now. 15,000 students by the year 2020, which brings in more money, which goes towards better facilities, athletics, everything along those lines. And one of the biggest areas that Tech is focusing on right now is Dallas. I have a buddy of mine living over there recruiting for Dallas. And a lot of students and counselors came to the game, and they had an amazing time. And they noticed that, whoa, Tech's a much bigger school than we thought.
Especially whenever Tech fans showed up in the numbers they did, yes. And then Illinois showed up in the numbers they did.
Because while working at the university for 2 years, one thing I realized is you want to grow, biggest thing you need to do first off is athletics. If your athletics is good, consistently good, your enrollment's going to grow. Therefore, you're going to get more money, which can go to better facilities. It just worked out so perfect for Tech to play in Dallas, which is one of the biggest places they were going, and beat a big school that people have heard of. Loved it. Couldn't have scripted it out any better. The game got a little weary there in the third quarter. Give the ball to Kenneth, it seems, but
a little pat me on the back. The TCU rival site tweeted it at myself and the Illinois rival site and asked a prediction. My prediction, 35-21 Tech. That's probably the closest I've been all year. If it was on the radio, it wouldn't have been even close.
You working for Vegas now?
Maybe I am.
Hey, what's the over-under for next year? We'll get into the projections for next year.
Oh, we can go ahead and start that. Projecting the next year, and then we'll finish this segment out with possible defensive coordinator.
Projecting for next year, Driscoll's... If he just doesn't come in, just stink up spring practice, which I doubt he will be the starter next year, which is nice when you have three freshman quarterbacks and Higgins, who, if he transfers, who knows, it depends on him. But you have a quarterback who's going into this season, unlike the last two seasons, who's played a game. 2 years ago, it was Scotty Young against NC State. Slow start. Cody Sokol against OU. Both of them, first Division I game. And first half, really, really slow, picked it up in the second half. You have a guy who's going to head into next year's schedule where you have a couple big games open up the year, like a Kansas State, a ULL at home that you want to win with a guy who's been in the Sugar Bowl. Nothing's going to faze him.
But ULL's been in the New Orleans Bowl 95 times.
I mean, it's the same place as the Sugar Bowl, so it's the same thing, right? But I'm just saying, you have a guy who's had that experience,
had to get
which
that jab
is nice.
In. Had to get the jab.
And then for people who are such a big Bryce Wilson fan, like myself, or the other two quarterbacks, dual threat, they have time to, you know, play some backup duty or get some experience and not just have to be thrown into the fire like the past few years.
I don't think that Tech could have asked for a better fifth-year transfer quarterback. Yeah, you could, Braxton Miller would have been great. Huh. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Or Golson. Old boy Golson. But let's be realistic.
It he could fits not his offense better than those two.
Oh, I agree. Braxton Miller may. They're similar. Braxton Miller and Driscoll are similar. So, but like I said, let's be realistic. Realistically speaking, it worked out the best it could.
Mm-hmm.
Projecting to next year, like we were talking about, you return so much on defense. You return the majority of offensive line, especially that played in the bowl game. You return basically your entire running back field. Yeah. As long as Kenneth Dixon doesn't declare for the draft, which I don't expect. Wide receivers return.
Step Starling, but he was injured the last few games.
Yeah. So
everybody's pretty much coming back.
Hunter Lee.
One of the best. But then, like you said, like we talked about, Driscoll's going to have the spring. One of the few benefits about the quarter system in athletics, he can come in earlier.
You talk about the receivers. Cam McKnight sat out this year.
Yeah.
When's the last time Tech had a 6'3", 230-pounder that could run like he can?
True. And then you still have Gaines and Watts, who are some freshman wide receivers that made some plays this year. You got a lot of skill guys.
And Carlos Henderson, who was also a freshman. They'll be okay.
It's going to be good.
Paul Turner, healthy.
And he'll be back again next year. You got your conference, which speaks for itself, and then you have at Kansas State, ULL, and at Mississippi State.
And Mississippi State without Dak Prescott. Wasn't he a senior this year, or was he a junior?
He's a junior. I'm about to say, did he declare?
Yeah, then he'll be back next year.
Or is he going to be a fifth year?
I think they lose a few on the offensive line, but that's still not an easy game. And this little guy named Manny Diaz will be there.
Oh, I didn't even realize that. Man.
How about that? How about them apples? Speaking of which, here's another good segue.
That's why you work for Vegas.
A little segue here. Next defensive coordinator, I really believe that it's possible that Tech's defensive coordinator, next one, is in Ruston already. Both, they really are co-defense coordinators. Mm-hmm. Blake Baker and Oscar Giles.
You have Blake Baker, who has the Manny Diaz energy to, after a big third down stop, going to run down the field, get all excited, and who's going to kind of get in your face. Like, one of my favorite quotes, when I sideline reported for Rice this year, when Tech was up 70-25, and Rice scored that touchdown with a few minutes left in the fourth quarter, I went behind the bench to see what Manny would say, just to kind of feel his intensity. And he was...
Is this appropriate for the air?
Yeah, it's appropriate for the air. I'm not going to say it in his tone, but he was saying, how can you give up 30 points to Rice? And they're up by 40. That just shows the intensity that he expects. He expects the best from his defense all the time. So you have that energy in Blake Baker, but at the same time, you have the experience in Oscar Giles, who just is loved and, you know, well known by everyone.
And they've both been around Diaz's system.
Mm-hmm.
Blake Baker was a GA at Texas, then he went to Arkansas State for his first head coaching job. Then Tech hired him as a safeties coach. Then, of course, Oscar Giles was defensive ends coach at Texas forever.
Mm-hmm.
And he really did a good job with that defensive line this year. The stunts on the defensive line were very, very impressive.
And an inexperienced defensive line, too. You don't have the jelly bean and IK in the past.
Well, you didn't have a whole lot of – there wasn't a lot of experience with one another.
Exactly.
It's real important on the defensive line. Whenever you talk about Houston Bates starting, obviously, for the first time at Louisiana Tech.
Dorr in his second year.
Butler starting kind of for his second year. Then you had that fourth position that was kind of a revolving door because McKinney got hurt. Then it was D'Angelo Brooks. And he did a really good job with that defense.
And you got a lot of young talent next year as well coming in on the defensive end position. But what I really want, I'm kind of with you, I would like to see these two be kind of maybe co-defensive coordinators, because you just like that style. First down, second down, you're going to be blitzing them. Try to get them in third and long, and that's when they're going to bring out your little kind of nickel package. I call it high chicken hands, because that's what they would do, leaving the sidelines.
Well, he basically puts two defensive linemen out there,
exactly,
and puts every other defenders on the field.
You're exactly right. You're putting your 11 best defenders on the field, and you're saying, beat us. You know what we're going to do. Beat us. And that's what I absolutely loved about it.
And then you look at how long these guys have been around the system. I talked about it a little bit, but I think that Tech wants to continue the trend. And what these guys, Baker and Giles, have done on the recruiting trail.
Mm-hmm.
They're dynamo recruiters. If that happens, you've got to find a linebackers coach, which we would discuss after the hire was made. No point putting the cart before the horse. The other hire that needs to be made in football is offensive line. I expected it to happen this week. Now, it may have been put on the back burner because of Diaz's news yesterday, but I still think they both happened quickly. I think the bulk of the work as far as the interviews go for offensive line have happened. We've got a couple of names on bleedtechblue.com. Go check them out. We've had them for at least a couple of weeks, and I'm pretty positive on both of them. So those are two. I would be even venture to say two of the finalists for the position of offensive line at Louisiana Tech, because between our last show and now, Matt Moore, now the co-offensive coordinator at Troy, so that's the other position to be filled at Louisiana Tech. But given Skip Holt's track record and how he's rebuilt that defense really twice,
yeah,
with impressive hires at each time.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt he's going to do the right thing for Louisiana Tech, and that's ultimately the most important part.
Yeah, because he knows his team and offense and players and defense and everything better than anybody in Ruston, you could say, for that matter. And that's why, if I were him, even though I'm not, I would keep with what the defense has, because you look at this defense play, and not only is it fun for fans to watch and get 40 turnovers, but you know what? It's fun for high school recruits to watch. Tech has always been pretty lucky to have a good front seven, especially a good defensive line. But in the past, the secondary has been inconsistent. So when you're a high school DB who's watching, you know, the team that you may go to get 3 or 4 interceptions a game, running back for pick sixes, that makes it a lot more appealing to go to. You know, having a little more responsibility, like an Xavier Woods, where he's cover one, you go out and just play. That's more appealing for a top recruit, and that shows with some of the, you know, 3-star defensive backs and higher 2-stars that are verbally committed for next year.
Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we'll talk a little Tech hoops. Been a little disappointing season so far. Still got very much a winning record. Got a win in the win column against Southern Miss big time the other night. But like I said, other side of the break, a little Tech basketball. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Between the two guys that I'm sharing this studio with, if I get out of here well, it's going to be a miracle. I think there might be 4 lungs on the floor right now.
Go get your flu shot.
You're around all those Jeremy College kids all day. Couple of sponsors, then we'll get into Tech basketball.
Sponsors are National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Brister Smokehouse. That sounds good for dinner. And give us a call on the Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners Hotline, 888-993-7762. Or you can text us at 888-993-7762. Name and town when you text in if you have a question or comment. Or you can email radio@bleedtechblue.com.
You know, when you look at this Bulldog basketball record, they're 10-4. 1-0 in the conference. They've lost 3 games against teams they
should have beat.
Well,
could have beat.
Could have beat.
Sorry.
And 1 game against a team that they shouldn't have lost to. You look at Temple, they had double-digit lead. You look at Syracuse, they had a double-digit lead. NC State, they had a double-digit lead. Mm-hmm. Lost all three. And just one of those would have been a signature win. And you're still 10-4. And we're talking about a disappointing year so far.
Well, what?
My how things have changed in Ruston, Louisiana as it pertains to Dunkin' Dog basketball.
And I guess that's a good problem to have. But I think what hurts the most, good song by the way, is you have a loss to Temple. And what do they do a couple weeks later? They go to number 10 Kansas and blow them out 77-52. Blow Kansas out.
And Tech only lost by 7
Kansas.
To them.
And then what do they do a few weeks later? They go to Connecticut and they win in overtime. Temple, a team they could have very easily beat. Then you have Syracuse.
And just for the record, Tech was leading by 4 at halftime against Temple.
Yeah. And then you have Syracuse, who's one of the most respectable basketball programs in the country. Jim Boeheim, one of the greatest coaches of all time, who has some great wins this year. Had that one. And then the one that probably hurts the most is NC State, when they were up by who knows how much, 20-something. At NC State, who's always a, you know,
they were up by 15 at halftime, 39-24.
It was 20 at some point. And you're playing at NC State, who's one of the most respectable teams in the ACC, who's probably one of the best basketball conferences in the country. And you can't win.
Close the deal.
Can't close the deal. And then the other one, ULL, a game I was at, and all that was Kaiser got in foul trouble.
And Sean Long.
And Sean Long, who's probably going to be in the NBA next year.
Is really good.
Tore it up. That's all it was.
He went 15 rebounds, 24 points, 10 of 16 from the field. Although he did foul out.
He fouled out really, really late, but he's going to get drafted next year.
Oh, without a doubt.
Kid's good. So you look at those four losses, and none of which you were really blown out or you lost to a team that you really shouldn't have lost to, but they're games that you could have won, some of them you should have won, and they would have looked really, really well on those wins that they're going to look at the end of the year to see if you're going to make it into the tournament outside being the conference championship winner in the tournament or the conference tournament. Instead, they're going to be losses.
The game Thursday night in El Paso at UTEP, I think it'll say a lot about this basketball team. Where have they grown from those disappointing losses?
I think that's a good question, because you look, last year they lost to UTEP. That was one of the games that kind of surprised some people. UTEP was actually a really good basketball team last year. They play a little bit different. They're stronger, which is one of the Achilles' heels of Tech, because they're much like skinnier, more athletic. So you're right. How is this game going to be? Because typically the game to test how conference was going to be is Southern Miss. Well, Southern Miss is not the Southern Miss of what they have been the past couple of years.
They shot the lights out the other night, and Tech still beat them by double digits.
That's impressive, but this is not the same Southern Miss team.
Oh, it's not.
So UTEP is going to be one of those games is how – if you win this game, gives you a feel of how conference play is going to be, because Tulsa's gone this year, team that beat them in the conference championship in the tournament.
But what I was – but my point about Southern Miss is they shot 53% from three, 63% from the field – and Tech shot 48% from the field and 34% from three and still beat them by 13. It's because the press was finally working again.
Yeah, that's one thing that has been struggling, has been the press.
Southern Miss turned the ball over 19 times.
You look back at all the, the years that Mike White has been here, and we could all probably agree the best year defensively with their full court pressure was last year.
Oh,
because one, you had amazing athletes, and number two is those athletes and those basketball players were with each other for at least 2 years altogether. So therefore, when you're running like a 2-2-1 press or a 1-2-2 press, however kind of zone press or man-to-man press, it all comes down to what do I have to do to help my teammates. If he's going to go over here to double team this guy in the corner, I have to know where I have to be. And you have to know your players' tendencies of what they're going to do. And I think that's just throughout the year with these freshmen, you're going to see them pick that up more and more with these seniors and Alex Hamilton.
You talk about the freshmen. This is the last segment of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. So if you want to get your calls in, call the Keller Williams Parish White Hotline 888-993-7762. And we've got our weekly caller of Rafe. And Rafe, we'll get to you in just a second. But I was making a point. I promise I was. But you look at Xavien Stapleton. I was preaching that he was the most ready of all the newcomers before the season started, and he is. It's almost time, in my opinion, for Xavien Stapleton to be the number five guy and to slide Eric McCree in the number six spot.
That changes up your offense, though.
It does.
It changes up your offense and your defense. You're essentially running a four-guard set with Kaiser. McCree is kind of like that Chris Anderson of last year, who can play the
guard. But he doesn't have the grit. He hasn't played with the grit.
He doesn't play the grit. You're exactly right. But he fills that role of being that muscle guy.
But if he's not going to go down and block people out, you might as well have four guards out there.
I'm just curious to see what four guards does, especially against a team like UTEP.
Let's go to the Parish Keller Williams Parish-wide Partners Hotline with our friend Rafe. Rafe, what's going on, my man?
Hey, man. Going great. You know, White kind of mentioned the possibility of Stapleton shaking up that starting lineup. I thought he alluded to it after the Southern Miss win, really by virtue of how he defended the four, which is something they didn't know that he could do, you know, coming out of high school. That I didn't know this, but he played the two in high school, and he was a little thinner. He's actually put on weight already, just natural weight. I don't think it's necessarily because of our weight program. And he, like you said, I didn't know, but he is ready. He is, you know, as far as comparing him to any freshman that I've seen over the last 20 years that I've followed the program, I don't know. He looks as good as any of them I've seen that's come through Tech.
Well, it hasn't been 20 years for me because I would have been a wee tot 20 years ago. But I will agree with you. I had to aid you there, Rafe. Sorry.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, it's actually been longer than that, but I just want to round it down to 20 years. Hey, maybe this football season was a little bit of a foreshadowing of what we're going to get in basketball this year with some of the weird, you know, almost wins and you know, blowout losses type things that we started clicking at the right time. You know, I don't know how much the losing those players to academics hurt us, but you'd have to think that we could have been even better with them. But if this basketball team, you know, continues to develop, and I heard White drop the work in progress skip line the other day. So maybe they are a work in progress, and you know, the bottom line is we need to be winning come tournament, you know, conference tournament, and of course you want to win the conference because of seeding and because of, you know, just that's what helps your team get better, is to see that success. But hopefully they'll be clicking. You know, I guess the tournament's still in Birmingham, and there's no penalty for them for dropping football and kind of messing up the whole conference, is there?
Yeah, believe it or not. You don't want to get me started. We only have 5 minutes left. There's not enough time in the world for me to get on that rant.
Yeah, that hurt us. I mean, what is the going forward? Is the UAB still going to be in the conference as basketball only? Do you know anything about that?
I haven't heard anything. I doubt that they're there unless they can find a football only to add. And there's been some talk of Army. I don't see what that does you. And I don't think that if they do not allow UAB to stay, I don't think they replace them.
Yeah, okay. And that would put us at how many teams would be if we dropped UAB altogether?
13, right? They're at 14 now. I think that's right.
Yeah, you can work with that and still have a conference championship.
Yeah, as long as you don't drop below 12, you're fine. And they're not close to that. The only problem is you've still got an out-of-balance conference, and you've got more Eastern teams than Western teams.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I looked at the rankings, the basketball rankings, and it was interesting to see how the ranked teams are really dispersed among about four major conferences. Even the SEC just has one ranked team. You know, so it's interesting that a lot of the so-called, you know, mid-majors or whatever, the other players aren't really there as much as there's a lot of concentration on the major conferences. And so I don't know how the tournament, you know, selection committee will treat that, or you know, but I know ODU is obviously the team that looks the best in Conference USA right now. But we'll see how it shakes out. Hey, last comment. Was Conference USA the best G5 conference according? I mean,
yeah, without a doubt.
I mean, I mean, Mountain West would claim that, but I mean, with Boise getting in, but you know, the bottom line is that you know the rest of their teams didn't fare nearly as well, and the way that Marshall obliterated Northern Illinois, I mean, just obliterated them, made you wonder if they couldn't have done the same thing against Arizona.
I'm with you right there. I think Conference USA did have the best season as far as the Group of Five goes.
Yeah, hopefully they'll carry some import going into next year. Anyway, I caught you late, man. I forgot about the show, and then I got in as quick as I could.
Well, I appreciate it, Rafe. Thanks for calling.
All right, man. Take care.
Weekly segment with Rafe. We need to get a sponsor for that.
Yeah. Brought to you by Joe Dirt. Dirt's digging.
This has been Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Ryan, appreciate you joining me.
Thanks, man.
On short notice, especially. Joe, good work on the ones and the twos and the threes and maybe the fours and the fives. Make sure you check out BleedTechBlue.com. We'll have all the latest on the defensive coordinator search as it happens. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. We'll see you next week right here. Same time, same place.
Listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio with Jonathan Ford. Listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on ESPN 97.7.